This is Album Worms. It's like a book club, but for albums. I'm Sean.
And I'm Chris. And on this episode, we will be discussing Piebald's album, We Are the Only Friends We Have.
Let's get started. Welcome to Album Worms. Welcome to another episode of Album Worms. Please take a moment and subscribe to us wherever you find your podcast and follow us on Instagram at Album Worms. Whew, it is good to be back. It is a scorcher out here in California, but hopefully you're getting better weather out where you are, Chris.
Mid 90s, 97 today, this afternoon, so not too much better.
So you are suffering just as much as we are, and we get to welcome back our good friend Corey Blaine to the pod. Welcome, man.
Hey Corey. Thanks for having me. Appreciate the second call back.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We are super stoked that you want to do another episode, and for those that maybe didn't catch it, Corey joined us for the Smashing Pumpkin episode, so go check that one out if you haven't already. So what's new with you, Corey? Anything new in your world?
I think since the last episode, I've moved from Costa Mesa to Mission Viejo.
Okay.
Changed jobs, you know, not much else too different outside of that.
Just like two of the biggest stressors in life as moving and starting a new job.
Totally fine. things went swimmingly.
Good to hear.
Good.
But yeah, outside of that, starting to play music again, playing bass in a band that will have music out sooner than later. Yeah, that's about it.
What's can you share the band name?
As of right now, we've chosen a name, but I don't want to go forward with it until I see artwork with the name actually incorporated, so I know it's real.
Nice.
I'll tell you guys after we're done. I'll send you guys some music.
Perfect. Looking forward to that. Yeah, we'll have to do another episode where we can share some of the music on the pod too.
Oh, that would be great.
That'd be fun.
Since the last time you were on the pod, Corey, I don't know if you listened to our other episodes, but we needed a little help. We could use a little help around here to pull clips, edit, all that type of stuff. And there are no takers, so we just made up an intern. His name's Stuart.
Stuart?
Yeah, okay. Stuart.
Yeah. So since you're the first person on the pod, since Stuart has been around, do you want to give Stuart his last name?
Oh, snap.
I love it.
Stuart Shankins. Not Jenkins, but Shankins.
Shankins.
Stuart Shankins.
Stuart Shankins.
Well, Mr. All right. Shankins. All right.
That's awesome. All right, here we go. Well, we are here today to talk about a great album, one that is very probably close to all of our hearts. I have very fond memories of listening to this record on the radio and cars and wherever we might have been, and then seeing them live together too. So a lot of very fond memories of this. So I'm looking forward to discussing Piebald and their record, We Are the Only Friends We Have.
Yeah, I was really excited to be doing this one. I mean, like you said, it was a band the three of us have been into since they came around. So I was really excited to do this one.
Absolutely.
One of the first records that I fully got into right around the same time I was starting to actively play, you know, instruments with friends outside of school, like playing drums, playing guitar. I was starting to learn these songs and then transferring that skill with playing, you know, playing in bands with friends.
That's rad.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Which, I mean, is not too unfamiliar with how they started as a band too.
Yeah,
very much so.
Just for those that aren't as familiar with Piebald, we'll give them a little clip here. Stuart will pull that up, and why don't we play the lead single off of this record, American Hearts. Well, thanks, Stuart. Thanks for pulling that for us.
Yes, thanks. Thank you.
Stuart seems like a nice guy. Is he new around here?
Fairly. Yeah, he's only been around for a few episodes.
Doing good work.
Yeah, he's really helping us out and makes my life way easier having Stuart around. So, kudos.
Big up to you, Stuart.
All right, well, I got some album details for us to start us off with. The album was released February 19th, 2002. It has a runtime of 43 minutes and 40 seconds. It was Piebald's fourth full-length record. And really, Piebald really started out as a hardcore punk band in Massachusetts. Later on, they kind of discovered Sunny Day Real Estate, Weezer, most notably, and decided they could play angry music that is more melodic and started singing instead of screaming. And the transition kind of happened altogether, the music and the singing at the same time. But there's definitely some hardcore elements, I feel, in their music still.
Yeah, I would definitely have to agree with that. Their early stuff was a lot more in the realm of the screamo world, a lot
right.
heavier. They had releases on Hydrahead Records, which the one band that comes to mind for me is Cave-In.
Well, they did a split. They did a split with Cave-In.
They did. They did. Yep. Indeed.
Like what? I think it was like 90s, late 90s or something like that when they did it. It
had to be like 98 or 99.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I recall often seeing Piebald's name, after becoming aware of who they were, seeing Piebald's name on wild show lineups where it would be Converge and Piebald and like
right.
other bands of that nature. And you know, back 2002, 2003, those bands back then were the bands that were breaking through the ceiling of that kind of music. And then seeing Piebald, this happy-go-lucky kind of band with Converge, just, it blows your mind.
Yep. It was an accepted band too. It wasn't like a band where all the hardcore kids walk out of the room as soon as they started playing. They were very much accepted and that world still.
Absolutely. I feel like with Converge specifically, and just a very specific point here, most of the time if you're in a band that's playing with Converge wants you to be there. You know, there's a reason people appreciate those shows, is because, you know, Converge probably picks those bands and they want to be on tour with those bands, you know. So they probably thoroughly enjoyed it and they were likely friends with them.
Yes. Yeah, I have a maybe a little bit more of a nerdy tidbit on that late for I'll save that one for later.
Into it.
So yeah, American Hearts, the lead single off of this record, had some success. It garnered some mention on MTV and certainly made the college radio circuit, which I did college radio at Chapman. And yes, this album really passes the test for college radio, because in those days, I was listening to minimum 10 albums a week. And when you're filtering through that much music, if the band doesn't have their stuff together by track 3, it was done. And the first three tracks on this record are bangers. I mean, the whole record, I think it flows so well, but they certainly, I think, stacked in that kind of realm to do well on college radio.
Yeah, I agree. They had a very, for someone who's like the first time listening to them and maybe hearing backstories like, oh, they're a heavy band. And then, you know, King of the Road opens up. You just have that guitar riff and you're like, this isn't a hardcore record. And it breaks down into that first little part and it's just like nice little singing. And then it comes back and it's full rock and roll in your face. And it's just that, it's just rock and roll. You know, it's the music that kids who just went to college, it's the college version of what their parents are listening to at home, but they think they're cool because it doesn't sound like them.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
They only had two more albums after this record and decided to call it quits. They did have a reunion in 2010, and then they had another reunion in 2016, but then have since gotten back together. I think in 2019, they actually created some Christmas songs. I've heard that they are in the process of creating new music, but they haven't determined if or when that new music will ever see the light of day. But they are performing together, seemingly. I think everyone has kind of full-time jobs, so it's not like a full-time gig for them, but they certainly are an active band to this day.
I believe they're as active as they can be, considering they all live in different places and do
exactly. You
know, they do have full time jobs, but
yeah.
I think I was lucky enough to go to the reunion show at Chain Reaction.
Oh, nice!
And that was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun. And I don't know about you guys, but that combination of Piebald plus Chain Reaction has led to some pretty epic show lineups, Converge being one of them. But I'm curious about you guys. Have you guys seen any other Piebald shows, specifically at Chain, that had like maybe wild lineups?
I mean, I can't even remember, honestly. It was usually like you said, kind of a band that's like, what are they doing on that lineup? But like, it is Piebald. Converge, I mean, I was probably at all the ones that you were at, honestly. Seems like Fridays and Saturdays were pretty much at Chain Reaction.
That's very true. There was a couple that I wanted to highlight, if I could.
Yeah, of course.
There was one show with Thrice, Taken, mm-hmm. Piebald, and Curl Up and Die.
Dang.
Which, Piebald is obviously the odd man out on that show. even with Thrice being kind of the bridge, even Taken in certain aspects, they're Taken a bit more jazzy, but you know, Thrice being the, at that point in time, a little bit more straight up and down rock and roll, but Piebald being the odd man out, and then going to see Piebald specifically and having one of the opening bands be the Kids of Whitney High, which, for anyone not familiar with the Kids of Whitney High, it is the band that is featured in the movie The Ringer with Johnny Knoxville. When one of the athletes is telling Johnny Knoxville that he scratched his CD, he's holding up a Kids of Whitney High CD. And they are a band made up of students in their special education program. And those are the kids who are up there singing. Their teachers are the ones playing the instruments. And they go on and they put on a half an hour of just rocking music.
That's cool. That's really cool.
Wow. Yeah. I did not know that. And fun fact, Jordy and I, our first blind date together was we went to see Mariner.
That's incredible.
That's great.
It was a double date. It was pretty wild.
Another little tidbit here. Do you remember, I think right around the time that this record came out, so probably 2002, 2003, the singer, Travis, had to undergo surgery for his vocal cords.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah, I remember that.
And you would think, going from being a band primarily where you scream as your vocal choice, you know, you would think that would be the band that does it and blows your voice out.
But right.
Apparently being in a rock and roll band.
Yeah. That, yeah. Do you know how long he was out for with that? That it took a while to recover.
I want to say it was in the ballpark of about a year. Cause I remember they had to reschedule shows that they had planned. And it was a while before they came back to town.
Right.
Maybe inside maybe 9 months to a year, something like that. And I want to say, yeah, I don't think I saw them for a couple of years after that. I don't think I saw them again until All Ears All the Time came out.
Okay. Right.
But that wasn't long. I think that was the last day of school my junior year. So it couldn't have been that long.
That's a good nerdy tidbit right there, which why don't we just kick right into the segment.
Nerd! You told me you didn't do the clips live. Oh, that's great. That's good. That's fantastic. All right. So who's starting this one off? Who's got the first nerdy tidbit?
I've got a few, but do you want to kick us off?
Sure.
Yeah, why don't you go, Corey?
Yeah. Okay, so this one I didn't know until I was doing some research. Apparently their first show was a Battle of the Bands.
Yeah.
And is chronicled on their 2-CD set. It's called Barely Legal / All Ages. And from the liner notes, from the soundboard, 1994 Battle of the Bands, Piebald lost. I thought it was brilliant that they would include not only the results, but the non-winning results of a Battle of the Bands where this was recorded. And we're like, you know what? We're going with it. We're putting it out. It's brave.
That's so classic. Yeah, so that era, I mean, they were in high school, right? Mm-hmm. Or just graduating. Converge and Cave-In actually graduated or came out of the same high school as Piebald in Andover, Massachusetts.
That definitely makes a lot of sense to me.
Right.
If you go back and look at tour flyers from that era, anything that came out to the West Coast, if it, like a lot of the times, if it had Converge on it, Cave-In would be there too. And vice versa with Cave-In and Piebald, and just other like Massachusetts or East Coast based bands around that time, they would all tour like two, three bands together as like a tour package.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they all grew up together, so it makes sense. Going back to this, how you were saying how Piebald was on the bill with this. I mean, before Piebald was even a band, I heard an interview with Travis about how Aaron or Kurt from Converge would kind of, they were a few years older but would pull them into their side projects. And that's really who introduced them to some harder music and was just a big influence on Piebald. So they were kind of a part of the family.
Also, we kind of touched on it earlier, but they also had that split with Cave-In. So that really right. makes a lot of sense, you know, kind of growing up in the same area and all going to the same school. Cool to see, you know, bands really stick to bringing friends along into shows and putting them on the bill. It's pretty cool.
I'm curious, though. This is a less of a nerdy tidbit, but I think it's still interesting. So they were really influenced by Sunny Day Real Estate and Weezer. And I think there is a lot of, when you hear that, there is certainly some influences that you could hear or of the same vein. But I think in general, it's kind of surprising that Piebald didn't blow up after this record. And they were approached by major labels. Nothing kind of came of it. To me, so Weezer, I would take off the board as far as a comparison. I mean, the Blue Album came out 10 years prior to this. They were kind of innovators in a lot of ways. Same with Sunny Day. But to me, comparison-wise, I don't understand why Jimmy Eat's World got bigger than Piebald, because I think this record is better than anything Jimmy Eat's World put out.
I would agree with you to a certain extent, only because the Jimmy Eat World record Clarity exists.
Right.
And that record is like top tier. You can't really beat that record. And that's not, I mean, that's not the reason why Jimmy Eat World got as big as they did, you know, touring off that record and then building their fan base that way. And then, you know, releasing, what was that record called? Dream American, Bleed American.
Right.
Like releasing that record is truly what did it for him, getting on the radio and stuff like that. But Piebald is definitely, they're a band that could have taken that spot easily and could have done just as well, considering the follow-up records that they had. I don't disagree that they could have and definitely would have survived being as big as, if not bigger than, Jimmy Eat World.
Right. Yeah, I mean, they're listening to records, it's just as catchy, but there's certainly more interesting layers to it, as well as, I think, way more clever in their lyrics and just their approach as a band. But I mean, I don't need to get into comparing apples to oranges either here.
Very true.
All right, I have one more nerdy tidbit for everyone, and then if you all have any other ones, we can go over those. But do you know what piebald means, or what piebald is?
I remember looking it up one day, but the definition escapes me right now.
It is a spotted pattern on animals. So it's usually black and white spots, basically, as piebald.
Interesting. I had no idea.
So you're saying there could be an alternate for 101 Dalmatians.
Right, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
That gives you a lot to think about. what would cows be called?
Yeah, I think I heard something with Travis Day too about the band name, that he loves that his band, someone's like really into like horses and is looking up at piebald pattern horses, and then they just find some emo core band from early 2000s.
They should just capitalize on the fringe chance and make horse-related merch.
Right.
That's it. And that's only it. I've got one more cool little tidbit.
Awesome.
The van pictured on the cover of the record, I can't confirm or deny whether it is actually the van that they owned and that they toured in, but I know that that van is supposed to represent the subject of the song King of the Road. So that song is about right. The van.
Yeah, that reminds me. Yeah, that is digging up some stuff of my memories. Yeah, their van was like this. Wasn't it a converted school bus? Like a short bus?
Yeah, it was the short bus.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like another member of the band practically had its own. By the way, they kind of
name,
they talked about it and everything. I think they had like a hammock in it and stuff.
Oh, looking a little bit closer at the cover now, it doesn't look like it's the entirety of the van. I've just been fooled this entire time. It's just the yellow door. They're sitting on a couch, and there's a yellow door, I'm assuming, from the van. I thought it was the van this entire time. I've been fooled.
That's all good, but I mean, that did spark some memories for me, because their tour van was an important part of their history and touring on the road.
That brings me into another tidbit thing that I thought maybe one of you guys would have caught, but their MTV exposure. They did a segment where they were featured for converting their van, not the yellow one. They converted their van from regular gasoline to be able to run on used vegetable oil from restaurants.
Oh yeah, that does sound familiar.
If you it the clip's on YouTube, it's there. You can watch it.
That's awesome.
That's cool.
Should we go to our next segment?
I'm up for it. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
All right. So this is a new segment for us, Chris. This segment is called Oh, the Memories.
That's cute. I remember when I had my first beer.
I do remember when I had my first beer. Matter of fact.
So, I mean, in this section, I think it's appropriate. We talked about a little bit about how we have some fond memories of this. So I thought we'd just take some time and talk about our favorite memory about this record.
Ooh.
Man. I mean, I think it easy one for me is kind of, I have a couple of, you know, always kind of putting them on in the car when friends were in the car and we'd be driving around listening to the record. You know, my favorite memory is seeing them live. They're one of the best live bands I've ever seen. Just with, like, the energy they brought. You know, I can't tell you how many times I saw them at Chain Reaction. But just kind of the memories I, you know, go straight to kind of hanging out in the car at Del Taco. Maybe they'd be on, you know, those kinds of memories. What about you guys?
I would... Personally, I've got one piebald in general memory that sticks out, and it's like partially because of this record. But there was, I mentioned it before, going to see Piebald up in LA. I went to go see them at the Troubadour. Had never been to the Troubadour before, and it was right after All Ears, All the Time came out, and was totally expect them to play a bunch of material off that. But the first four or five songs were straight off of We Are the Only Friends, and it was so great. It was the last day of school, first day of summer, you know, drove up to Hollywood, you know, as a kid in high school. When you ever allowed to go up to Hollywood without your parents to go see a show, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
And yeah. So like getting to see that whole thing. And they played a lot of stuff off of We Are the Only Friends. So it was primarily based around that record.
So I have one very fond memory, hands down. We'll always remember this. The day before Tournament of Champions, which was our, basically, I don't know, how would you describe Tournament of Champions for marching bands? It's like the playoffs, I guess.
The regional Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Right.
Showcase of bands.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so for all those that don't know, we were all marching band together, and the day in high school, the day before our big last kind of hurrah for the year, which is my senior year, I was a drum major. The day before, we all went to see Piebald at Chain Reaction. They were the headliner, and mm-hmm. I just have very vivid memories of Chris, Corey, Peter, Brandon, Alan. I feel like it was at least half our band was there.
Good, a good portion for sure.
It was just so much fun. And afterwards, we got to talk with Travis, which was kind of a cool moment too, because it was just maybe the first kind of rock star, I guess, in some ways that I met, that when I met him, he acted like I was his old friend, and it was just like, he chatted with us for a while and just was like super cool and signed my ticket, which I think I might have still somewhere if I can find it in storage. But that is a very fond memory, and I have even the memories of like driving home and the defog on my rear window didn't work. So it was kind of sketchy driving home because I could not see behind me on the freeway. And then, yeah. And then the next day, just being so memorable, doing Tournament Champions with everyone after having such a good time the day before together. So special moment in my life for sure.
Yeah, that's so rad.
Yeah, I like I said, I feel like their live shows were kind of the most memorable times, you know. Just, I mean, they're usually were with you, Corey. I know we went to a couple, you know, Sean, Brandon, Corey. It's a lot of fun, man. It's like going through this, it just kind of brought all those memories back of all those fun times with not only seeing them, but hanging out with, you know, my best friends.
Yeah, absolutely. I got to go to their 2016 reunion show at Chain Reaction too. And it was myself, Brandon, Jessica, Yant, Alan, Peter. It was like old times. It was great.
That's so cool.
That's killer. Sweet. Should we go to our next segment here?
Yeah, I'm up for it.
Let's.
All right. Our next segment is called That's My Jam.
I like that. I'm going to steal it. That's mine now.
Ah, yes. That's mine. That's mine now.
Which, if you're a Parks and Rec fan, that one has like double meaning because...
You just got jammed.
That's good. Great choices. I do have to say.
I'm a big Parks fan, so I had to. So in this segment, what we're talking about is, what is your favorite song title, riff, lyric, basically just anything under the sun? What was some of your favorite moments on this record?
Ooh, for me, it's tough because this entire record is, I hold a soft spot in my heart for this entire record because of the fact that I feel like I learned how to play drums to this record. So yeah. I know how to play it from front to back.
Dang.
That being said, it's a toss up between three songs. I'll give you second and third place before going to first. So second and third, it's constantly changing, would be King of the Road and American Hearts. Cause like Chris, like you've been mentioning, live, those songs are absolutely incredible. They're party jams. Everybody in the room is dancing, they're clapping, they're singing. Like,
oh yeah,
it's just a fun time. And so those two songs are interchangeable for me, second and third place. But my favorite song on the record is The Monkey Versus the Robot.
Yes,
it's catchy as hell. Mm-hmm. I can play it on guitar. I can play it on drums. The lyrics are about, you know, being grateful for the fact that his job is playing in a band. And me, as a kid, when that record came out, when this record was turned on to me, that was where I had tunnel vision. You know, that's where I wanted to be. And this guy was doing that.
Yeah.
And it's like I'm normally not a lyrics guy. I'm very much a music person when it comes to music that I listen to. If the music catches me enough, yeah, I'll listen to the lyrics later. But
yeah, you're in good company there.
This one, like,
yep, definitely.
From day one, you know, we got the best job ever. Yeah, we really got lucky. Like, yeah, you do have the best job ever. I want to get that lucky. Come on.
Yeah, it's so good. You know what that song kind of reminded me of is Presidency of the United States of America.
Which one?
The Monkey Versus a Robot.
No, wait, which president's song?
Oh, not, I was just saying in general, like the general vibe.
Yes, absolutely.
It's just a vibe of the thing, which is another great movie. If you... The Castle. If you haven't seen it, look it up.
I can't say that I have.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
Missing out. I want to say it's National Lampoon, potentially, or Mighty Python. Mighty Python of that
Ooh, nice.
It's about a Australian family that doesn't want to move their house, but they're going to knock it down because they're building an airport there.
All right. I'll have to check that out. Okay. I've not seen it. Yeah.
So, yeah, sorry for my use of a quote that no one knows where it's from. So that's right. my bad.
Someone else. Have faith. Someone who listens knows it.
Yeah. Jordy will know.
See, like I said.
You want me to go, Chris, or you want to go?
Sure, you can go. I'll go last.
My jam on this is certainly King of the Road, the whole intro. And like you say, Corey, I'm not a lyrics guy, but there's certainly a lot of lyrics on this record that caught my attention and wanted me to do a deeper dive. So, I mean, even in the whole intro of how he's kind of saying what each person did, like it's an intro of each of the band members.
I always thought that was really cool too.
Was so rad. And then I don't know why, but I love the lyric, and I teach his kid in first grade.
That or leaving Newberry Comics.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Taken over for Alex Van Halen after his major surgery.
I want to know if that's true. I chose to believe that it is.
Right.
Yeah. Me too.
And then also like at the 143 mark or whatever, it almost felt like a hardcore drum fill. Maybe Stuart can throw that in and post afterwards.
As yellow as you, he's gone, so deal with the man. But wait, after all, you did get us across the world and back. Would you park at the station?
but just re-listening to the record, it's so dynamic compared to a lot of kind of emo core, whatever you wanted to call this music of this generation. The drums are heavy and drive, and the bass lines are awesome. So it's not your typical straightforward indie music. So I think that was obviously the whole record. But then my last thing I'll point out, so my favorite song title on this record, Karate Chops for Everyone But Us.
Is that that's the one that starts out with the crazy, like, wild organ, right?
Yeah.
People to Please.
Yeah.
That song?
Yep.
That one was just playing in my head because of the fact that it's got, like, that organ up front there. And like you said, the instrumentation, it's unlike any other, you know, indie rock band. No other indie rock band at the time is having keys on any of their records. No way. That was solely left to Bleeding Through and the like, and metalcore bands like that.
Yeah, and technically that is the title track of the album, because it says we are the only friends that we have in that song.
That is very true. Is this one of the only cases, or at least one of the only cases I'm aware of, where there's not an actual title track that matches the album title? It's just referenced in the lyrics?
I believe it's just referenced in the lyrics of that song.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's one of the few times I've encountered that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it kind of minus the bear type of wacky song titles that have nothing to do with the song, but not quite there, because it does have something to do with the song, but certainly has that fun loving type of good vibes record that just is like, let's go have a good time together and not take life so seriously.
I feel like it's a very good feel good summer record.
Yeah, but some of the songs, I mean they still said that it's emo in a lot of ways still.
I can see that some of the quieter, the softer instrument stuff, the some of the breakdowns, interludes that they do.
Yeah. All right, Chris, what you got?
I went with American Hearts, just from like my own nostalgic, that whole intro, "Hey, you're part of it."
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of a fun song, and I remember singing it in the car, friends. And then you kind of listen to the lyrics and you're like, whoa, okay, those are actually some pretty heavy lyrics. But it's put to a song that's like kind of cheerful, right? Like you want to sing along and then you realize, oh man, you know. And that's kind of where I was, you know, same thing for me. That intro part where, you know, they're singing, hey, you're part of it. Yeah, you're part of it. And then it kind of slows down. And then he kind of explains the song to you. And that kind of just hit me because every time that song comes on, I just want to start singing that intro part. So I kind of went a little different because I was going to pick King of the Road. I don't know. This whole album for me is just kind of a really fun album. You know, I can, like you said, there's some emo parts to it, but I just think every song on there is just kind of a fun rock song. Just that intro for me with American Hearts, it's I could repeat that song constantly and never get over it. So.
And that intro too is so recognizable. Just the really simple kick snare pattern.
Oh, it's so good. I don't know, they're just really good at making, you know, catchy songs, and, you know, it's a real poppy song, but then you dive into it and you're just kind of like, oh, he actually has kind of something serious to talk about. I wasn't really expecting that, but, you know, it's done in a way that kind of catches your attention. It's not, you know, a sad song by any means, but it's just kind of a fun song. So that's the one I went with.
Yeah.
Definitely a fantastic choice.
I mean, there's hardly a sour moment on this record, so you could have said anything about picked any song and I would probably have agreed with you, so but it's a solid choice nonetheless. All right. Shall we go to our next and final segment here?
I think we should. I've been looking forward to this one.
All right, here is our segment, Sales Pitch.
Buttlicker, our prices have never been lower.
He's hard of hearing.
Nice.
Pulling out all the classic sound clips today. So in this segment, first time trying this out, so we'll see how it goes. And first time we can try it out because we have a wonderful guest, Corey, on the pod. So in this segment, two people will sell one person something. And what we are doing is American Hearts was the lead single off of this record, but would they have found wider success if they chose a different lead single? And that is the sales pitch for today. Corey and I, we're going to face off. Chris, you're going to be the judge. You decide which product you're going to buy, whether from me or from Corey. We all good?
Sounds perfect.
I'm good with it. I'm ready to go.
Yes, I am ready.
All right, so since you are our guest, Corey, I will let you choose. Would you like to go first or would you like to go second?
Oh, I will take advantage of being the first guest to play this game, so I will go second.
Okay.
All right. All right. I like it.
Here we go. So I'm going to propose, instead of American Hearts, which is a great song, as we covered just a few moments ago, Chris, you point out some great elements of that song. Great song. I think it should have probably been the third single that came out on this record. I think the first single that should have come out is Keen of the road. The intro, very kind of a little Weezer-esque, so I think it would have caught some people's attention because it's somewhat familiar. It already sounds familiar when you hear it. And then also paired with that, it introduces the band in a very clever way as a great introduction to a wider audience in that sense. And in addition to that, as some great references, as we pointed out, Newberry Comics, Alex Van Halen, and then just kicks into such a great guitar riff that not only the lyrics will be stuck in your head, but the guitar riff, you'll be humming around the block as soon as you hear it. It's an earworm. That is my pitch for King of the Road to be the lead single.
All right. Okay.
How do you follow that?
Hey, you wanted to go second.
I'm possibly questioning that now. All right. So when approached about this specific segment, I didn't know specifically what the lead single was. So in my notes here, I said lead single was probably American Hearts. We got that one. So my choice would be, I would think the crowd favorite every time I've seen them live, and that would be The Stalker. Because the intro like that, the do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, you've already got the crowd right there. You're two snare hits deep. You're a beat four of the first measure, and you've already got people clapping. Come on. You can't really beat that. And then you include them later with the clapping part, where they get their own rhythm as the crowd. Come on. Crowd participation, fun drum beats, a song about a creepy stalker guy. But the clapping part. The clapping part is so much fun. And it, like, again, this whole record is filled with, like, upbeat, what could be lead single summer jams, big rock jams. This one, The Stalker, you can't beat it. Like the clapping part in the beginning, immediately the crowd is in. I'm in. I'm Corey Blaine, and I approve this message.
So if I will to rebuttal.
Oh, okay.
The Stalker, great song to remain as. Once you discover Piebald, it's like the secret sauce. Once you're in the in crowd, it's kept better as that way. So like, let people discover it once they've bought into Piebald.
I have a rebuttal for that. Let them hear the song. Don't teach them the clap part until later. The clap part is the secret handshake.
There you go.
Yeah, I love it. Perfect.
And to bolster my case, any song that comes with a secret handshake, yeah, come on.
All right, well, the hands are, it's out of our hands now, Corey.
It's true.
It is now placed in the hands of Judge Chris or Purchaser Chris, whatever you want to call yourself.
Judge Chris, that sounds cool. Let me step out into my office for a minute.
You are allowed to converse with Stuart if you need to.
Yeah, don't forget Stuart's on your side.
Nah, Stuart's in the tech room. He's he's working on some things. Well, I... On strictly just print, like, I mean, I'd have to go for Sean and Woo! King of the Road.
Man, it's understandable, though.
Because for the simple fact that I really don't think you can make a song that's called The Stalker a single. People would probably be a little creeped out about it. I mean, I'm with you. It's one of my favorite songs on the record. That guitar part, that intro, great. But just for the name alone of that song, I just feel like might turn people away from it.
And that's fair.
Yeah. It might have worked, but in today's world, that song would have got them canceled.
Oh, yeah. That would have been
yeah.
That would have been turned into a funny animation that you see on like 4chan that goes dark really quick. Yeah. But we're not putting that bad juju on Piebald. We're not doing that.
No. It's a fantastic song. I suggest you do listen to it.
You have to give it to them for the creativity of that song. It's so creatively written, and it's a good choice, but I'm sorry to deal you a loss in this regard, Corey.
That's okay. You got to do the show proud, and on the first round you've done so magnificently.
Here you go.
You're just gonna have to come back on and defend your honor.
We'll have a second rodeo.
All right, I am definitely into that idea. I wanted to, while we're still talking about the Stalker.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen like an official music video for it or anything, but for whatever reason, the lyrics and like the feel of the song, all I can picture is it the movie Say Anything where John Cusack's outside with the boombox?
Right.
All I can picture.
Yeah.
Is him in the music video carrying around the boombox the whole time, and the video for the Stalker is just the movie Say Anything.
Make this happen. This is gold.
Yep.
There's got to be an AI out there that can do this.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a tech-savvy someone out there that knows how to do that, for
sure.
Stuart's got the chops. Get out of the tape room. Get out of the tape room, Stuart.
Kid, you can't keep him out of the tape room.
It's true.
I'm going to have a hard time remembering his last name, though. I'm going to have to keep...
What is his last name?
I have it written down. Shankins.
Shankins. Thank you, Chris.
Not Jenkins. Shankins.
Yes.
Shankins.
Stuart Shankins.
It should be Stuart, not Jenkins. Shankins. Like his middle name is quote unquote.
Shankins, not stirred. See what I
Shankins not stirred.
That's our, yeah. our next guest gets to pick his middle name, so
you could also do a segment called Shankin Not Stirred. It is just fictional picks from Stuart.
I'm dead. I don't think we could get any better than that, so I think we should.
Oh, that was a lot of fun. Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, Corey, and your wealth of knowledge of Piebald and music in general.
Absolutely, my dudes.
It's always fun.
Until next time, though, we definitely want to do another record with you, and we'll definitely be back and talking more music.
Yeah, you got to defend your honor.
I do. I gotta come back if we're doing 2 out of 3. What happens if I lose 2 in a row, though? Can I never come back as a guest?
Best out of 5.
No, you can come back for sure. Yeah, best out of 5 for sure.
Best out of 5, but that's where you get the game show portion of it. Is like if you have multiple guests or guests come back multiple times, if you lose 3 times, you're out of here, dude. Like, get out of here.
We will see you. I mean, I don't think
you just got to win the next one.
Yeah.
Just win the next one, Corey.
All right.
I will throw a game for that to never happen.
See? Market. Because then this becomes a Netflix series or a Netflix episode on Untold about how you rigged it. Now we're off and running. Dude, yeah, this was a ton of fun, my guys.
Well, yeah, thank you all for joining. Until next time, I'm Sean.
And I'm Chris.
And we're Album Worms.